Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime thanks to Santa Fe's Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the show, Robert Knott will be here speaking of the arts. Right now, I am very happy to welcome Rabbi Malka Drucker of the Hamakom community, and welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Shmaya Charlotte.
And she has a new book. She's edited a book called Women and Judaism and is going to be giving a class on this. It's an open class both tomorrow and the 6th of January. So this is a book. Let's talk about this for a while. How did you come to write it? It's a compilation of writings by lots of different women confronting the power of Judaism today in one way or another.
Yes. You remember, Mary Charlotte, when I was on the show some time ago about the book about women spiritual leaders in America.
I love that book.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, this book was born of that. This is the daughter of that, because one of the women in that book was asked to edit an encyclopedia, the first of its kind, about women and religion, of all religions, and I was invited to edit the Jewish volume. So this was the first one that's come out. Now two others have come out in the series in this last year for an academic press called Prager. And it would seem from the first class that I've taught already that this is, in our community, a very hot subject.
It seems to me, reading through this book, reading different essays, that at least people who have a more kind of, what would you call it, progressive attitude, that religious scripture is kind of like the U.S. Constitution. You know, you adapt it to the needs of society today as opposed to looking at the original founders, so to speak, or the original document as being stuck in that time that it was written.
It's interesting in Judaism. It's the dance of the fiddler on the roof to live with the New York Times in one hand and the five books of Moses in the other is the dance.
Right.
So nothing is ever thrown away. That being said, if you look at the opening sentences of the Bible, you might be inclined to think that there is someone up there with a beard and certainly masculine and certainly corporeal, despite the admonition against the corporeal image. That being said,
is a beard ever mentioned in Genesis?
The beard, it's interesting. In Hebrew, the word for the wise one is the same as the word for beard.
Oh, my goodness.
Women as well as men. So it is interesting.
So, yeah. So there's a bias right there.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Actually, in sign language, the sign of the beard is for a Jew.
Stroking the beard. Oh,
again,
my goodness.
Regardless of gender. So what women have had to do is to take this tradition, which has certainly been understood by men and women, to be a vision of a world through masculine eyes, and always there's been a revolutionary force. I mean, always there, if you read the Bible, the movers and shakers in the Bible are women. It's Sarah who drives the action. It's Rebecca who causes the deception. It's Rachel and her sister. So they're the ones who do all of it. That, but also blamed. Blamed for the narrative that has to take place. What's happened in the last, say, 30 years in biblical scholarship in general is the presence of women. In Judaism, the great challenge has been, as you said, how do you take an ancient tradition, especially one that has been seen as patriarchal, that has been patriarchal, and now give a different face to this religion? So that's really been the work. So we have women in this book who've written about, first of all, seeing biblical heroes, women, in a completely different way, understanding how to take ancient ritual and create new ritual, for example, using the ritual immersion for rape. So those are new ways. Taking the
Say that, what do you mean? Explain that.
Okay. So we know that the ritual immersion is understood in Christianity as the baptism. In Judaism, from which it was taken, that's a regular practice that some people might do every day. Before you write sacred text, for example, a man will always, or a woman actually today, will always have a ritual immersion. It's called the mikvah. And it's water as a liminal agent to bring you from the ordinary into the holy. So given that, if a woman is, say, has been raped, if she's suffering from cancer, the mikvah, the ritual immersion, becomes now a powerful tool where she can gather friends, she can gather family, to watch her go through this ritual immersion, to bring herself into a place of full intention to begin, not to conclude, but to begin a healing for herself. So it creates memory of this, it can be recreated, and that's one of the ways that, and I think in this book as well, a woman who was Orthodox, had 8 children, discovered herself to be a lesbian, went through, again, describes what the mikvah is from a traditional perspective, which she certainly knew as a part of Chabad, but then she then it became something that allowed her to continue living in a vibrant way, but certainly not one that Chabad would have ever recognized through the mikvah.
Now, another ritual which is relatively recent, and I didn't know how recent it was the bat mitzvah.
Right. So the bat mitzvah began in 1922 because Mordechai Kaplan, who had come from the Orthodox world, had been in the conservative world, saw no reason why his daughter should not become a bat mitzvah. There's precedent for it in Torah, all of that. So his daughter was the first one who was brought before the Torah. And it's become such a powerful instrument of not only of learning, but coming into one's full power and identity, that it so many women now are becoming bat mitzvah past 90. It's like a new phenomenon. And men as well.
Although it's a ritual of adolescence, a coming of age ritual in its essence, like the bar mitzvah, isn't it?
Exactly. It actually means to become a daughter or son of Torah. And many, many women were denied this. So that synagogues began to, in the last, say, 30 or 40 years, begin to address this by offering classes for adults, primarily women. Sometimes men as well. Sometimes men who say have chosen to become Jews as adults and never went through this process, or men who went through it and for 99% of them it was meaningless, and now it has meaning, and now they want to do it again.
I think something that is very telling about that phenomenon that started in 1982 was one of the writers of the essay in this book, we're talking to Rabbi Malka Drucker about her book Women in Judaism, is that the first women who did this did it with an attitude of defiance, but then their daughters and granddaughters did their bat mitzvahs as if they'd been doing it forever.
Right. It was 1922, Mary Charlotte was the first one.
Right.
Not 1982.
I thought I said that.
Yeah. So, yes, I think that in the beginning, certainly, let me speak personally, the first time I put on a prayer shawl, only worn by men, having never seen a woman wear a prayer shawl, I felt like Yentl. So for many of us who went through this, we're bringing women now, regardless of ages, into a new relationship to Judaism. How many women have I handed a Torah to, you know, the scrolls? I have never held a Torah. How many have been invited up to say a blessing over it? So still there is so much of this. When I first taught this class, many of the women in the class were in their 80s, and they looked at me like, give me your best shot. What do you know about women and Judaism? So I asked them to write about what it means to be a Jewish woman, just a free associate. Phenomenal anger came up.
Really?
Of being denied a place, really, at the table, for being stereotyped in a certain way, for the best intention to preserve and protect and shelter family. All the jokes about the Jewish mother. Phenomenal anger among these women of feeling betrayed by the tradition, by being left out, by finding ways, say, through Hadassah, a women's Zionist organization, to have a place in Judaism. And then to find themselves in their 80s sidelined because they've been so focused on their children, on the community, etc. What about them? So now they're reading this book and finding themselves in their 80s as Jewish women.
Very interesting. I think, again, you have in every community, in every religious community, you have the more conservative and the more progressive elements. And it seems like the more progressive elements, especially the women, balk at being tied into sex roles, whereas in more conservative elements, they embrace the differences of their gender roles.
It's a very good point, and I'm sure you noticed that in this book, although there is an Orthodox voice, it is primarily progressive because by the very nature of the intention of this book, it's about the evolution of Jewish women in Judaism. So we're seeing, but even in the most traditional communities today, we see de facto women rabbis. They're not called that. They're called teachers, they're called this, they're called that. There's no question that they are doing everything that a rabbi would be doing in these communities, especially in Orthodox communities. Great scholarship coming out of the Orthodox world, whereas at one time women were not allowed to study the commentaries of Talmud, just regarded beyond our minds. Now some of the finest scholarship is coming from women professors, women theologians. So it's made a, even there we see radical change, even in that. Now, yes, they will defend the separation, and they will say that we don't have circumcision for women because girls are born already circumcised, and they'll give you 1,000 different reasons for the difference. Look, it's a slippery slope always when you talk about essence, masculine essence, feminine essence. This book is about the experience of women on the ground historically, how they've transmuted within the tradition whatever limitations. One of the problems today is not having those limitations. We've got nothing to push against. And some of the greatest energy that's coming into Judaism, the greatest enthusiasm, is for those who've been kept outside. It's women. So that's another reason for this book, is to say, look, in a declining Jewish world, how can you deny this passion, this energy, this excellence?
Another way another theme that this book addresses is women's sexuality. Mm. And there are places in the Bible, the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon. I haven't made my notes. There are places, the Song of Songs, yes, where women find a tremendously powerful sexuality that it has expressive in its own right, regardless of their marital state and things like that.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up, because anytime you can bring in authentic sex within religion, it's always a good idea. And the truth is, that's exactly right, that the Song of Songs is the voice of a highly passionate woman in pursuit of a man. Now, being in a Christian world, whether you're Jewish or Christian or non-Christian, your bias and your vision of things is going to be from that perspective. Judaism does not have objection to sexuality, frank sexuality. This is given by God, and this is like, you know, high energy that should be really faced, and that this woman's passion is, I think, radical. When you read this, the first time you read the Song of Songs, you're shocked. Throughout, we'll talk about Hanukkah a little bit later, the stories about women and Hanukkah. Again, when I first started researching it, I was astonished, because you only hear about the guys, the hairy-chested guys with their shields, you know, who saved the day, but it was the women.
Let's talk about Hanukkah, which starts at sundown today.
What is
the celebration of Hanukkah about?
The celebration of Hanukkah is the first war for religious freedom. It was the first war that was fought not for land, but for an idea. So interestingly enough, it was a fight between zealots, because we were talking again about the most conservative elements, and the most liberal and the most assimilated. And essentially, until the Jews' backs were put to the wall around 167 BCE, most of them were very happy to change their names from Joshua to Jason and to live very much in a Hellenized world. When they were said, no, you cannot, you have to worship Zeus as well as your god, the Zealots essentially had their backs against the wall and fought back. Because of that, their zeal, we're here today to call ourselves still Jews. So that's, you know, in the two sentences of what it is. That's the story of Hanukkah. That being said, why eight nights? Why eight lights? Eight lights because the story that the school children are told is that they saw enough oil only for, would last for one day. And they said, we have to light it and have faith that it'll last. And it lasted for 8 days is the story. The deeper meaning probably has to do with what really was in that day was when they were the minority, when they did not have power, when there was no chance that they were going to win. They didn't give up. There was the miracle was the light stayed burning inside them to believe there'd be a better day. So that's the story of Hanukkah. Now the women's piece of it is interesting because the story of Judith, who is Judah Maccabee's cousin, as the myth goes, was that she wanted to participate in the war. And he said, you can't. Cook for us. That's all you can do. Well, the Syrian general, their enemy, was in love with her. So she shows up one day at his tent with food. And he's thrilled to see her. And he welcomes her. And says, let me provide a feast. Oh, no, she says, I'm kosher. I brought food for you. What she's brought is highly salted cheese and lots of wine. So she gives him all this cheese. He gets very thirsty. He drinks all this wine. He gets very sleepy. He falls asleep, and she beheads him. And then she takes his head and puts it in the basket and brings it back to her cousin and says, I can do more than cook. So that's the story of Judith. And then there are other stories, again, of women in this that were very heroic. And I think that's a
nice breaking the nurturing stereotype story.
It is. And the other piece of it is that it's one of the reasons why there's a lot of oil in the food, which is why I brought you this rugelach from our community.
Yes.
And which you will taste and you'll see that it's very rich and it's got lots of cream cheese in it and butter in it because, again, we're celebrating the miracle of the oil lasting for eight nights. So I hope the rugelach lasts you that long.
Well, the rugelach, let's talk about that because that is a very tasty pastry that you are, that's also a fundraiser for your congregation.
That's right. This is every year we have baked in the beginning. We started just with a few boxes and we pre-sold, and now it's such a popular item, our rugelach, that we, again, often sell out before it's finished. And if anybody's interested in getting rugelach for Hanukkah, it's $25 a box. The ideal gift for Christmas or Hanukkah. And you can get it from our website, hamakomtheplace.org.
How do you spell hamakom?
H-A-M-A-K-O-M. theplace.org.
All one word, hamakomtheplace.org.
All one word, that's right.
One of the things that I thought was also striking in your book was somebody, I can't remember who the writer was, but asked her friend, what do you like about Judaism? And she was amazed to find his answer, it's fun. So the fun and the social and the wanting to show up and the engagement is also part of the whole deal. I was thinking about that when you talked about Hanukkah. Yeah, there's this whole history behind it, but it's also beautiful.
Oh, that's thank you for saying that, Mary Charles. There's a wonderful Shalom Aleichem story that opens up exactly with what you're saying, like, what is better than Hanukkah? And I was just with my grandchildren, and the great thing about being around little ones in this season is that their joy is unbounded. Their anticipation, they're practically quivering with the joy of, again, as you said, yeah, the presents are nice, but it's that gathering together. It's those songs that you remember. It's playing with the dreidel. It's the gambling you get to do when you're 5 years old. All of this, and more than anything, it's stopping for a little while in this very busy world just to have fun together. And, you know, and if you have a little memory of this as being connected to your Judaism, that's really the idea of it. So I think that this piece is very important. And I would just like to say, if anybody would like to come to this class on Sunday, they're welcome. If they go onto our phone number, they call us at 992 1905. They'd be very welcome to come and get the address of where the class will be at 9 o'clock on Sunday.
And that's the next to last class. There's another one also on the 6th of January.
That's right.
And so I want to thank you for being here. It's just about time to go, Rabbi Malka Drucker. Anything else you want to leave us with before we go?
Well, I want to thank you again, Mary Charlotte, always for your interest and curiosity about women and about Judaism, and I'm always grateful to be here.
You know, I was thinking just one more thing before we go. There's this whole, people who are practicing a progressive religion or any kind of progressive practice, I often wonder, why do they even need it? What they are looking for, they can find out in the rest of society. You know, there's all their feminist ideas. You don't need to go to Judaism. In fact, sometimes you have to fight with Judaism or Christianity or whatever to get what you want. So why stay in the religion?
I hear your question, Mary Charlotte. I like that
question. I'm asking a rabbi.
Every day I ask myself that, and I think it needs to be an active question. The heart needs to be able to answer that question. Why stay within it? First of all, it goes to what we were just talking about, that it's in community that a part of ourselves is saved. Which community is key? What is that community really offering us? And for many of us right now, having a root that brings us into shelter, to bring us in from the cold, to give us some sense of who we are, that goes back to, say, who my grandparents were and why I remember that I love them and why they may have remembered why they love their grandparents and how I hope that it will continue. Right now, in a world with a great deal of trembling and many of us not sure where we are, cosmically as well as personally, I think that having a tradition is useful. Secondly, so that holds you to the past. Secondly, if you lose hope in this world, you have nothing. But one of the things that for me as a Jew that gives me hope is we're still here.
And that leads to another, we'll go just another moment or two. Robert Knott is on deck. But before the show started today, you and I were talking about forgiveness. And in not only a religion, but in a whole community that has been persecuted for so long, and the Holocaust is still living memory for some people. How do you find forgiveness, and what are some of the features of Judaism that help you with that?
In the last 10 seconds, let me see how I can answer that. Judaism, because of how much it's been persecuted, has had wonderful practice in learning forgiveness. Whether we've been able to manage it very successfully is another story. I will say this, that I think that we've learned, the reason I wrote a book about Christians who saved Jews in the Holocaust is that what's going to save us is by looking to those who acted in a different way from, say, the rest of the world. We have to always look at the remnant sometimes, the minority. So for me, my forgiveness comes in seeing that the reason that we've survived this long was not by carrying a burning ember of rage in our hearts, but a burning ember of love. It will only be by remembering those who have behaved differently from the rest of the world that any of us are going to be saved. So I'd say that, you know, one of the things that the Jews have to remember and could do better is to remember that piece.
Rabbi Malka Drucker is with the Hamakom community, and her class is this Sunday. Is it tomorrow or Sunday?
Sunday.
Sunday. December 12th?
December 12th, I believe. Yeah.
Or 13th. Okay. Yeah, it must be the 13th because today is the 11th.
13th?
Okay.
Yes, 13th.
And if you want to reach her and find out more about the classes, not to mention the Rugalach, you can call 505-992-1905. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break right now. Robert Knott will be here in just a moment. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Posse Tempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and he is the education reporter for the Daily Paper. And he is with us just about every Friday speaking of the arts.
It's snowy out there.
It's snowing? It looks sunny
to
me.
No, it's snowy.
Oh, it's snowy.
Yeah, there's still snow and ice. It's a marshmallow
world. It's colder
world
than
in the winter.
Heck.
I love it.
You do?
Take a walk
I hate it.
With your favorite girl. It's a swinging date. I hope spring is late because it's in winter. It's a marshmallow world. The spring, it looks like the cover of Pasta Temple looks like spring, but that's just an image from photographer Elliot McDowell, whose show is opening at Andrew Smith Gallery today, this evening, December 11th. Take a look at the story in today's Pasa Tiempo.
Is that a topiary of Tiger Woods?
I don't know about that, but Paul Weideman did a really nice piece on this guy and his work, and some great images in there, including a tree that looks like it's got a face in it. Oh, strange going-ons. Double Vision is the name of the article. Take a look. A lot of stuff happening in the post-film festival weekend, I'm happy to say. I did write a rather critical column in Big Picture today on the film festival, which is no reflection on either the filmmakers or the volunteers, because I ran into a volunteer who listens to the show. She made a really good point that the volunteers work very hard. They're very professional. They maybe don't get enough credit, and they maybe reflect the good side of the festival that's not always put out there in publicity. And I have to admit that's true, and I heard her words, and I felt she had a good point, which doesn't change the fact that there's still a lot of mess-ups in the festival, probably nothing having to do with the volunteers who take the brunt of the grief when things don't go well or films don't show up or movies are canceled or anything. But take a look at Big Picture. I am a fan of the film festival. I'm also a fan of the film business here, but I have to be a critic too, and I am a critic of both and will continue to be.
Well, I love both. The film festival, and there I noted some filmmakers mentioned some problems to me that they ran into. So I think if it's just articles like yours show the need for improvement, and that need for improvement can be lovingly embraced and taken into the next year.
One hopes so. They're at the 10-year mark. It's time for them to grow up. They're all also undergoing a transition of control, so cut them a little slack and let's see where it goes.
Yeah, because John's moving to Kentucky to sit on his porch and play the banjo.
In about a year. I don't believe that. He's going to keep active. I know that guy. He's going to start the Ray Harryhausen Film Festival and hopefully the Barbara Steele Film Festival. Johnny Rivers up at Buffalo Thunder Resort and Casino, Pewaukee, Pueblo. Man, did that guy sing some of my favorite tunes like Secret Agent Man and Seventh Son and Poor Side of Town. That rich guy you've been seeing must have put you down. He's there tonight. Call 800-905-3315.
Hey, here's time, something. The Buddhist relics, the Maitreya Project Heart Shrine relic. There's an exhibit of Buddhist relics today, tomorrow, and Sunday, and the opening is today at 7, and it's at the Surrett Gallery on Sandoval Street, and that is also, it's on the corner of Water and Sandoval, and that's also where they're doing the beautiful sand mandala. We had the monks on
that's
yesterday,
right.
And they do this incredible sand painting, grain by grain. I love watching them put it together. It happens just about every year. And then on the 20th of December, they take a big brush and sweep it up and throw it in the river and give people little grains of sand and things
nice.
Like that.
It's probably has more of an impact than burning up Zozobra.
Interesting comparison.
Huh. Tuna Christmas. I wish you a tuna Christmas. I wish you a tuna Christmas. That's the follow-up to Greater Tuna. Playhouse, probably going to be a big hit, opens Thursday night. Rob DeWalt covered it in his Soundwaves column in the Today's Pasa Tiempo calendar. Take a look and see. And it's Christmas at the Palace. Oh, boy. Mr. and Mrs. Claus are going to come in this afternoon and see if children have been naughty or nice. They've called me several times to try to get me off the naughty list to no avail. There's also drumming on the portal. A lot of stuff happening. Starts tonight, 4:45, Palace of the Governors on the plaza, free. Here's the phone number. 476-5100. Take a look at Pasa Tiempo's coverage of this today if you want to know exactly what's happening and where.
Now, don't forget Museum Hill and all of the museums up there. A few weeks ago, there was an opening at the Wheelwright, which I neglected to mention, but it's an exhibition of recent works by Frank Buffalo Hyde, who is an Iroquois. And since some of these exhibits go on for a long time, it's just worth mentioning them. That's a show, for example, that runs through April. So lots of good stuff on Museum Hill. And I always think about it when I have guests in from out of town. And sometimes you don't even go to the museums until somebody comes
right.
in from elsewhere. But my aunt was here, and she went to the Folk Art Museum and went bananas.
All the years I lived in New York City, I only went to the Empire State Building or the Statue of Liberty when guests came and wanted to go. And then I was always sort of awed by the wonders, particularly the Statue of Liberty and everything it stands for. We were supposed to mention a couple of art fairs still going on, despite the fact that it's winter. Is that right? You and me have got a couple of emails.
Yes.
I think, for one thing, the Santa Fe Artist Market continues next to Site Santa Fe across from the Rally Yard.
Right.
7 to 1 o'clock Saturday. The Santa Fe Farmers Market's going on at the same time.
So the art market and the farmers market.
That's right. There's also, just so we know, the Winter Spanish Market opens on Saturday at the community center downtown, the Santa Fe Community Convention Center on Marcy Street. There's a store in Paso Tiempo. Check it out. And there's a ton of Christmas stuff starting to occur, including Christmas at Vanessi's. Ding, 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 ding. Wait, that's not the same song. That's Dragnet. Anyway, they could mix the two. That'd be fun, a Dragnet Christmas. Just the fact, Santa Claus, he's got a gun in the old St. Nick's belly. Anyway, Christmas at Vanessi is like Stars Never Fade Productions, and they're...
You're weird.
You know what? This is strange. Last night I had a dream, and it wasn't the usual nightmare because it wasn't scary. Zombies were attacking, but they weren't interested in hurting anybody. They were just wandering around aimlessly, and they were very easy to beat over the head, and all I had to fight them off with was a kind of like... phony club that you use in stage shows, like Keystone Cops Club, that didn't really hurt them. So it was like comedy induced, but they were zombies, and I don't know why I'm telling you this story.
I don't either.
I tried to find a show on Sasquatch last night, but there's nothing, because now it's winter. They got all these Christmas specials and how to decorate your house. There's not one Bigfoot program around. You'd think this time of year they'd have at least something about the Yeti, because that guy hangs out in the winter.
But luckily, there's an exhibition tonight with Jan Adelman. His work, it's called Jan Adelman Latter-day Fabergé Assemblages New and Retrospective, and it's at the 8 Modern Gallery at 231 Delgado Street, and the reception is today from 5:30 to 7:30.
Nice. Anyway, so Christmas at Vanessi's, go over there. You're going to see them doing jingle bells and all that. 6 o'clock on Sunday and Monday. I'll give you a phone number at 982-9966. Stars Never Fade Productions. Bart Paul wrote a book called The Double-Edged Sword, The Many Lives of Hemingway's Friend, the American Matador, Sidney Franklin. We got a very nice book review in today's Paso Tiempo.
Yeah, I had him on the air.
Yeah, so you did, and it's 4:30 today. Guess where?
Garcia Street Books.
You got it. Take a look. For that matter, Margaret Moore Booker is also signing copies of her book, The Santa Fe House.
Oh, yeah.
Historic Residences.
That's a terrific book.
And Romantic Revivals. I haven't read it. It is terrific.
It is. Well, we had her on. It's much more substantial than what you might think of as your average coffee table book about beautiful houses in Santa Fe.
Okay, great. That's 2 o'clock today, according to Paso Tiempo, at Las Fuentes and Bishop's Lodge Resort and Spa on Bishop's Lodge Road, 819-4035. 2 o'clock today. Margaret Moore Booker. No, pardon me. It's Saturday. That's Saturday. I was wrong. These are both Saturdays.
That's
both
what I thought. Signings. I was just looking it up.
My apologies. So I caught that. Saturday for both of those book signings.
So Bart Saturday Paul, at 4:30
for Bart Paul and 2 o'clock for Margaret Moore Booker at La Posada.
So check this out. The book Double-Edged Sword is about the first American bullfighter. He was a Russian Jewish immigrant's kid from Brooklyn. He goes to Mexico. He's a graphic designer and a poster printer. And somebody sort of challenges him and says, Americans are gutless. And he goes, oh, yeah. And he becomes a bullfighter.
He totally
spends his life doing that.
Amazingly.
We got a caller who complained that we did a show on bullfighting as if we were promoting the sport of bullfighting, which is animal cruelty.
Well, you know, Paso Tiempo a couple of weeks ago did a homage to the old circuses, and we showed the elephants. And we got 2 letters that were very small letters. Sometimes we don't run letters because, honestly, we don't have enough to make even half a page of letters, and we do. And I totally understand where they're coming from, because there was certainly animal cruelty or indifference in those days. But that's, you know, we weren't spotlighting that. There was still a joy and a nostalgia, and it might have been mistaken for a lot of things. And it's very tough in this age where people care a lot about animals, including, by the way, you and me.
I know. I mean, I do more animal welfare shows than...
So do I. But then you write about somebody who does something bad to animals, and you're seen as being culpable. But I don't really see it that way, but I totally understand and respect those opinions. Which reminds me, Home for the Holidays pet adoption event. It's inside the Chavez Community Center downtown, and there's going to be puppies.
Dogs and cats?
Yeah, it's going to be Saturday at 11 to 3, and you can get them. There's Kitten cuddling up to a puppy in the picture that I'm looking at, and there's a little Christmas present. I don't know who gave it to who. I imagine the puppy gave it to the kitty. Those guys are cute. Anyway, that's Saturday at 11. Go down to the Chavez Community Center on Rodeo Road and adopt.
Yay. It's such a wonderful thing to adopt a little puppy or a cat or a kitten or
I know it.
Grown dog. It's nice to adopt. I've adopted
multiple adult dogs in my life, and some of them quite old. And it's incredibly rewarding because usually, I mean, they're housebroken, so you don't have to go through all that and having all your good shoes chewed to pieces. And they love you so much.
Yeah, I was house sitting for some people, and the doggy got hold of my shoes, and it's a puppy.
That's
it's okay,
very bad.
Just sneakers. Golden Dragon Acrobats, people love them. They're coming back to do their antics, hijinks, shenanigans, monkey shines. 7 o'clock Thursday through next weekend, 988-1234 at the Lenzic. We can't mention prices, but we can say children under 12, half price.
Yay.
So take your 10-year-old down there. Take your 8-year-old down and watch these guys climb on 82 chairs.
Hey, check this out.
Yeah.
Jemez Fine Art Gallery is having a reception tomorrow from 3 to 6. And join gallery artists around the bonfire before visiting the Jemez State Monument's annual Luminaria Tour. And that's out in Jemez Springs, it's just south of the Village Plaza. The gallery is open 7 days a week, and the winter show goes on through January. And for more information, you can call 575-829-3045. Jemez Fine Art Gallery Holiday Show.
Visual arts-wise, I'll throw a few things at you. Frederick Hammersley, the 90-year-old artist who passed away in the spring, I think in Albuquerque. There is a new book about his work and his life, his non-objective paintings. And there's going to be on Saturday from 2 to 4 a reception and book signing with the contributors to the new book, which includes Charlotte Jackson. Therefore, it is at Charlotte Jackson Fine Art, 2 o'clock Saturday. 200 Marcy Street, 989-8688. There's also a lecture Sunday at the New Mexico Museum of Art by Joe Traugott, 1 o'clock Sunday. Take a look at Doug Fairfield's story on Hammersley and the book in today's Pasatiempo. A number of other art openings. I'll just spin through them as quickly as I can. I'm all for nudes. I think no nudes is bad nudes. And Claudia Marr Gallery.
Oh, that's so bad.
Is going to be showing John Nava 100 drawings in her new gallery location, grand opening reception. 5 o'clock today, we have a story in Pasa. The nudes are of both genders, just FYI, so it's equal opportunity nudism. Arte Bella Gallery on Don Gaspar is having a special Christmas celebration group show, 5 o'clock tonight. They're at 235 Don Gaspar. Show runs through the 20th. Over at Backstreet Bistro, I haven't been over there for a sandwich in a while. I got to swing by there. Oil paintings by Anna Judd Edwards, reception 5:30 to 7:30. They're across the street from where we is now at Camino de los Marques.
And the best mushroom soup in the city of Santa Fe.
I've got to get back over there since we moved back downtown to New Mexico. I've been a poor patron of that place, and I should be. Ernesto Mayans Gallery on Canyon Road, 31st anniversary group show, 4 o'clock today to 6. Heidi Lowen, Porcelain Gallery. You and I ran into Heidi, I think, during the film festival,
yes,
didn't we? Yes. 5 o'clock tonight, so she's on Johnson Street. I'm going to try to get over there and say hello. Maybe I'll swing over to Claudia Morris, too. Karen Rulin up on Canyon Road. Oh, sorry, Heidi's having Fire and Gold.
Fire and Gold.
Fire and Gold, Smoked Fire Porcelain and Gold Leaf Vessels by Heidi. And there's some Trump de Loel work by Brout Brads. I can't pronounce that. How do you pronounce that? T-R-O-M-P-E-L-O-E.
Trump Loy.
Really? What's that mean?
It means fool the eye.
Ooh.
So it's when you paint, for example, a picture of of an apple,
woman.
And Robert Knott thinks it's really an apple, and he reaches out, and it's just a painting, kind of thing.
Oh, I wonder if there's going to be some, like, twins from that Playboy magazine over there in those paintings. Karen Rulin has Masters of the Landscape, 5 o'clock tonight. She's up at 225 Canyon Road. Santa Fe Clay has Cups and Pouring Vessels, makes sense, 5 to 7 p.m. They're on Paseo de Peralta. And Ventana Fine Art has Watercolors by Tom Noble, 400 Canyon Road. So there's a lot of visual arts. Take a look. There's a lot of theater. Boys Life, College of Santa Fe.
Hang on 1 second. I also want to mention before I forget that tomorrow, December 12th, from 11 to 11:45 at the Santa Fe Children's Museum, Stories from Near and Far, a free holiday family performance by Zuleika, who is a story dancer, a whirlwind of story, rhythm, and dance. We've had Zuleika on the air a number of times, and she's a wonderful dancer and storyteller, and she tells stories through her dances, and it's going to be at the Children's Museum, and kids love it.
That's it. So we have kids, we have
also
art,
adults.
We have doggies and kittens. Theater-wise, No Exit at St. John's, 8 o'clock. Strange play about a bunch of people that can't find the exit door. 9846139 tonight at 8. Boys Life, as I mentioned, by Howard Corder, who lives in Santa Fe. That's the College of Santa Fe's Greer Garson Theater, 8 o'clock tonight. The Reluctant Vampire, 7 o'clock over at Capshaw Middle School. That sounds interesting. Vampires are big with teens and young people today. This one's reluctant. Apparently he doesn't want to climb into his coffin at night. I don't know. Anyway, it's over at Capshaw, 989-5438. And I already mentioned.
You may not want to drain the blood out of your neck.
Maybe that's why I had that dream about the reluctant zombies. They didn't want to do anything to hurt us. That's strange.
Hey, holiday gift fiesta on this Saturday and also the 19th from 11 to 4 at Bert's La Taqueria across from the Guadalupe Church at 416 Agua Fria in Santa Fe. Lots of parking, lots of wonderful artisans, gifts by New Mexico Women Artisans, and lots of good stuff. New Mexico Women's Foundation.
Nice. There's also a number of ice things happening, holidays on ice. 1 o'clock Saturday, guess where? Down at the Chavez Community Center with a big ice rink. It's the Santa Fe Skating Club presenting its gala ice show, 1 o'clock. Kids under 5, no charge. There's also Hanukkah on ice. That sounds interesting to me. Do you like that sort of thing?
I don't know. Well, I don't have a category for things like Hanukkah on ice.
Well, there's Hanukkah on the plaza on Sunday at 3 o'clock.
You just said Hanukkah on ice.
I know. And then on Tuesday, there's Hanukkah celebration that the Santa Fe Desert Chorale Winter Festival is presenting at 7 o'clock at Temple Beth Shalom. That's Tuesday. But there's also Hanukkah on ice, and I'm not kidding you. I mean, there's all these things on ice. Holiday on ice, Mickey Mouse on ice. I'll find it, and then I'll tell you more about it. It's there. I know it's. Oh, there it is. It's happening Thursday night. It's a magic show and juggling by Clan Tinker at 3:30 Thursday. Again, out at the community center. It's amazing that they do all these things on ice these days.
It is quite amazing. Hey, here's another thing. Tomorrow from 4 until 7 at the Pink Church Arch Center on 1516 Pacheco here in Santa Fe, the Family Jam. At 4 o'clock, Fam Jam. 4:30, Mariachi Buenaventura, which is a female mariachi group, and then Family Yoga, Dances of Universal Peace, Santa Fe International Folk Dancers, and Music Jam after that, and refreshments. It's very, very inexpensive for families to go, and sounds like lots of fun.
Good. Out of town. Why not? Madrid. Madrid Christmas open house on the weekends. Head on down and see Mr. and Mrs. Claus. Holiday lights, photos with Santa, live music. 9 to 6 both days on the weekends through Christmas. So call Jill at 438-6202 if you want to find out more. Drive on down 14 to Madrid. It's a beautiful town. A little bit of snow. It looks really gorgeous. Drive up to Taos for Yuletide in Taos. Arts and crafts, Farolito lighting in the plaza. Bent Street block party. The lighting of Ladue Street, the opening of Taos Ski Valley through New Year's Day. There's a full schedule available at the following phone number, 877-587-9007. If you're interested in acting, there's auditions this weekend for Benchwarmers 9, 1 o'clock Saturday, 6 o'clock Sunday, over at the Santa Fe Playhouse. The show goes up in February. They need everybody. Cold readings. You show up, they give you a script. Hopefully the theater won't be cold. 988-4262. Auditions for Benchwarmers this weekend.
And come support Pueblo de Abiquiú Library, the annual holiday season party at the Parish Hall across from the library in Abiquiú. And that is tomorrow from 4 to 6. It's a buffet. It's music by Lorenzo González. Find a fine gift at the gift table ornament display. And for more information, 505-685-4884.
What time is it?
8:53.
The time flies. I come on here at 8:30, and next thing I know, we're running out of time.
Like, you know.
I don't know how this occurs. Funny girl.
I'm just kidding.
I know.
Yet another holiday sale this Saturday, and then again the following Saturday from 10 to 4, Clearlight Book Gallery. And they're having a sale on all their books and cards and posters and things like that. And it's at 851 West San Mateo Road. And it's
excellent.
At clearlightbooks.com.
There used to be a secondhand store in there, right?
Yes.
Saturday night, music-wise. At Corazon, you got Body Language with DJs Reverend Mitten, Justin O'Brien, and Swing Kid, 9 o'clock, small cover. Head on over to the El Dorado Hotel and Spa for Agua Bendita, Latin Pop Fusion, at 8 o'clock Saturday night. We're sticking with Saturday. La Fiesta Lounge at La Fonda at 8 o'clock has Pete Springer, Andy Prim, and Don Curry playing some classic rock. Pranzo Italian Grill has David Geist on piano. Some of these have a small cover charge. Some have no cover charge. call to find out. We don't mention prices on your community radio station. Meanwhile, the Tin Star Saloon on Saturday has the Gumbo Project.
Yay.
Which they call Big Easy Funk, 9 o'clock. And Turquoise Trail Bar and Grill has Gimme Some, R&B at 9. Tiny's has Showcase Karaoke with Nancy and Cindy. Hi, Nancy and Cindy, 8:30, no cover. And again, Saturday night, Santa Fe Brewing Company, the Starlings.
Now, you already mentioned the holiday event at the Palace of the Governors, right?
I did. That's okay. Christmas at the Palace.
Yes.
It was Christmas at the Palace. Santa Claus was feeling blue. He couldn't find a parking space because it was taken by you. That's the toughest thing about going downtown, getting a parking space. That's why I like to just slide down there on the ice.
Hey, you know what? I got an email from John Trent Acosta, who is a jazz musician and has a show on jazz and KSFR, and he's going to be teaching a course called Jazz History at the Santa Fe Community College, and it starts in January. But I thought it's for non-music majors, and it's all about different kinds of, basically, ways of listening to music and appreciating jazz. So I thought I would mention that.
Good. Were we going to mention Santa Fe Art Institute? Because they're always very good at getting us press releases, which is a major thing.
You go ahead.
The Memory, Shadow and Light, Art as Individual, Collective Memory Series, continues. Why they couldn't just say, we've got a lecture coming up is beyond me.
With Esteban Rayo Galvez.
You got it.
Who is the former state historian for the state of New Mexico and is now the director of the National Hispanic Cultural Center.
Correct.
And he's amazing. I'm going to have him on the show on Monday morning. And then the lecture is that evening at the Santa Fe Art Institute. At 6 o'clock in Tipton Hall, which is on the campus of the College of Santa Fe, right next to the actual Art Institute. And it's a great lecture series. If people are interested and haven't been down there, Diane Karp and her crew gets the most amazing artists and thinkers and people to speak to the public. But Esteban is particularly remarkable because his sense of history is so grounded in place and in conversations with people, and he's great.
Well, there you have it. You got to head on over there. It's Monday night, 6 o'clock, small fee to get in, 424-5050.
Now, just because the film festival is over doesn't mean that there aren't lots of great films.
You said it. Speak, O soothsayer.
You speak.
Well,
Antichrist. I don't know anything about this movie, but I was looking at what's happening at the Cinematheque at the CCA.
Very controversial movie.
That opens tonight or today, and the film Untitled apparently is still there.
Very funny movie, perfect for Santa Fe.
Oh, Antichrist is Lars von Trier.
Yep.
I saw a movie by him that was absolutely life-changing years ago in the 90s. What was the name of that film? Breaking the Waves. Wasn't that him?
This is, according to Robert Benziger, who reviewed it, a very interesting review, by the way, a nicely written review. This one's oddball. Take a look. Brothers opens down at Regal 14, and Red Cliff, Chinese battle epic at the screen. If you like that sort of thing, where 8 million guys are on one side and 2,000 guys are on the other side. It's like the Magnificent Seven, only they got throwing stars and stuff. So that's over at the screen. And, there's a lot of stuff. The Princess and the Frog opens today everywhere for people that like Disney, being touted as Disney's first cartoon with African-American characters in it. So we'll see if it's good. We're going to send Rob DeWalt over there today. There's a lot to do. It's a great weekend. Pick
it's
up the Paso Tiempo, see what's happening. And
it's just too darn cold.
It is cold, but hopefully it'll warm up because all my cars are breaking down and I've got a slide everywhere. I'm going to buy myself a sled. Wouldn't it be fun to have a Red Flyer sled and attach it to the back of somebody's Jeep and then they drive you down the street?
Your Jeep.
Yeah, but I got shock problems and that's shot, and then the second car's shot, and I'm borrowing somebody's car and they don't even know it.
Isn't that called stealing?
Well, not exactly. The person's not in town, so.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte.
Robert
Knott is the associate editor of the Paso Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's here with us just about every Friday speaking of the arts.
Well, thank you.
And it's great to have you, as always.
It's great to be had.
Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. Oh, I want to thank everybody who donated during our one-day fund drive yesterday.
That's right.
Very, very well. It was fantastic. And sort of a new model for on-air radio fundraising.
Good idea.
One day, it was like a sprint rather than a long long sort of slog. And anyway, thanks to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today. My email address, should you want to write, is radiocafe@ksfr.org.
I'll send you a note.
My podcast site is santaferadiocafe.org, thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services.
You can find me down in County this weekend.
County?
Yeah, Stir. The world is a snowball, see how it rolls. Well, that's how it rolls, as everyone knows. The world is a snowball, it's yours for a song.
Hasta la vista, baby.